Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Get Yourself the Job with Jennifer Hill, only on LA Talk Radio.
Well, happy Monday, everybody, and thank you so much for tuning in to Get Yourself the Job with Jennifer Hill. Today, I have an old and dear friend of mine who has taught me everything I know about party planning, Party Charlie Scola. Charlie, thank you so much for joining us
today. It's great to be here. Good to see you again.
Yes, absolutely. I think we originally met on a plane on our way to Sundance a few years ago, wasn't it?
Yes, yes.
It's so funny how it all comes full circle. Well, the reason I wanted to have Charlie on the show today is that in addition to Charlie being a party planner, a caterer, an author, a columnist, an award-winning speaker, including even a TED speaker and a world traveler, he has been throwing events and catering events and planning them for over 25 years, including some of the top parties in LA, parties like the Universal Studios Famous City Walk Party for over 7,000 guests, Hugh Hefner's Millennium Holiday Party at the Mansion. Charlie has even catered for world political figures, Hollywood celebrities, rock and roll superstars. And in addition, Charlie is extremely philanthropic. He works with the Charity for Abused Children, the Make-A-Wish Greater Los Angeles, and much more. He has also received a proclamation from the City of Beverly Hills for his work as a philanthropist, as well as being named Rotarian of the Year. Charlie has appeared on Fox, NBC, CBS, E! Entertainment, TV Guide, Marie Osmond, Showtime, Jerry Lewis Telethon, countless magazines, and other numerous papers and radio stations. So, Charlie, it's such a pleasure to have you here today. And, you know, as we were talking about, I think what you do for a living is so interesting. How did you get into the field of party planning?
Well, that's interesting. You know, after you read that bio in front of me, if I haven't seen it in a while, it's like, oh my God, I've done a lot. You know, it's been a great ride. It continues to be a great ride. How I got into the world of party planning. Well, I was studying as a youngster in high school, my sophomore year, on how to be a welder. And This hotel that did beautiful banquets needed somebody to set up the tables and chairs. So I would set them up on the weekend and peer through the window and see these people coming through the lobby all dressed up in their tuxedos and the women in the gowns and everything. And I'm thinking, pretty cool, you know, but I go back to the welding. And this went on for a while, and then one day I just looked at it and I saw the way people were treating one another, how respectful and how wonderful everything was. And then I said, you know, maybe I like this life. So I continued to work hard there. And as I do with anything, no matter what the job is, work your heart out. Love
it. Give it all. Give it your all.
Give it your all, Jen. You know how it is. So I remember getting promoted to a waiter, and I was waiting on this one table, and at the end of the function, it was a big fundraiser there. At the end of the function, this gentleman comes up to me and hands me a $20 bill and says, young man, thank you so much for wonderful service, and you had a wonderful attitude.
Aww.
And I put the money in my pocket, and I thought about it. And then I go back to my welding, where I'm, you know, street guy, and I thought to myself, what life do I want? And I realized very, very fast that the way you treat people, it's a mirror. You get treated back. Okay, somebody out there right now is saying, well, that's not true. There's an exception. There's an exception to everything. Rule of thumb, you treat somebody nice, it's a mirror. It comes right back to you. And that's what I experienced there. I was really nice to those people, and they were so complimentary. In no time at all, I got promoted to the youngest banquet manager the place ever had, the town and campus in West Orange, Union and Elizabeth, New Jersey. And the West Orange store, I called it the store. You know, it was like a factory up there. We had 12 banquet halls connected to the hotel. We had one banquet hall that would seat thousands. It was an amazing experience for me. And as 19 years old, I'm the youngest banquet manager that they ever had there. And I continued to grow. And at 23, I bought my first restaurant with catering halls. And It was a blast. It was a blast. I, you know, but I stayed with the catering. You know, you've been at plenty of my parties, Jen.
Yes, so. I know. You do throw the best parties. Party Charlie knows how to throw a party, and you've definitely mentored me through my share of parties. So,
well, I'll tell you, with the restaurant, I bought it at 23 with partners, and at 24 and a half, it burnt down. It was underinsured.
Oh, my gosh. That's awful. I mean, that could stop you right there for the rest of your career.
And with most people, it may have. I remember thinking to myself, okay, well, I've lost everything. We were underinsured. We couldn't get any money out of it. It was a horrible situation. The restaurant was closed, kitchen fire at the time. Nobody got hurt. Well, I decided I'm going to move to Los Angeles. So from New Jersey to Los Angeles, I move from the West Orange area of New Jersey to Hermosa Beach, California.
Nice move. Okay? Not too bad.
I know. And my brother knew, was very good friends with one of the guys he played football with in high school, and he told me, go live with Bobby. Bobby lives in Hermosa Beach. Well, Bobby lives at the beach. It was fabulous. So here I am, young guy, 24 years old, living in the beach in Hermosa Beach, having a great time, hanging around with these surfers. And before you know it, I got myself a job, and I started working at the Culver City Studios. Are you familiar with some of the things that went on at Culver City Studios while I was there? Ready for this? It's going to blow your mind. They were filming E.T.
Oh, my gosh. That's pretty incredible.
But only we didn't know it was E.T. We didn't know what it was because you weren't allowed on the stage. I worked in the food factory. That's what it was called. The food factory was a commissary there. And the people would come in with their laminates, and they were not allowed to discuss what the event was. Whenever there was catering that we would do from the commissary to the soundstage, there was no entry on the stage at all. Wow. If it was raining, a tent would have to be put up. So the people, that's how secretive it is. And it was under the name of A Boy's Life. Hmm. So we didn't know what it was. Down the line, we learned out A Boy's Life, working what? Title, was E.T., and I happened to be working there at the time. And at the same time, Mr. T was sparring with Sylvester Stallone in one of the sound stages for one of the Rocky movies, and Steve Martin was doing Dead Men Don't Wear Plaid all at the same time, and Michael Landon was doing Little House on the Prairie. They used part of the sound stage there for that, and then I mean, it was just unbelievable.
So how did the party planning? So you did the catering, you owned your own restaurant, it burned to the ground, and then you move out to L.A., you land a job on a studio. How did you get your first party planning gig?
I met this gal working at the food factory, and her and I started talking. I said, you know, I've always done catering my whole life. That's my passion, parties. I said, why don't we get into it? Her and I started cooking out of her apartment in Manhattan Beach. Okay, back then you could do things like that. And we started getting weddings and parties, and we started doing pretty good. And, you know, life was going great. And then we leased a restaurant at a private health club in the Valley. So we started using that kitchen. And that was really nice. And then one day, while I'm working at the health club, at the restaurant, I get a phone call that my apartment is on fire.
No, another fire, Charlie?
Yeah,
that's insane.
Okay. I know, right? This is...
How did you just not give up after the first fire, let alone the second fire?
After the first fire, and I lost everything, I said, well, there's two ways for me to go. I can either give up, I can either cry and complain about it, or I can stand up and move on, put one foot in front of the other, take one day at a time, and just keep moving the ball down the road. And I tell you something, always with a good positive mental attitude, I can't tell you how far that gets you. It's just amazing. I get so many times people will tell me, Charlie, we really like your bid. You're a little higher than the other people, but, you know, we like you. And then you want to work with them. People want to work with people that they like. You have to be able to do the job, otherwise you're not getting called back. But you keep that positive mental attitude, it'll take you to places. You know, it's interesting. I call attitude the steering wheel of the brain. Mm. I tell you. And if you have a bad attitude, guess where it's going to take you? It's the steering
to the unemployment
wheel.
Office.
you have a good positive mental attitude. And Jen, you know this because you've got that great positive mental attitude, always looking and always making things work. You do so many wonderful charities, and I've been part of them, and I've seen them, and I know that you do great stuff. And it's because of your attitude. And that's why so many people come to your events. That's why they want to come in there. They clamor to get into your parties. So here I am. I'm working at the – I've got the little restaurant going at the private health club, and we're doing our catering out of there. And I get the phone call that my apartment is on fire. And you know, it was the lady downstairs, some problems, and with – I don't know, Curl and I never got the full story. All I know, my apartment was wiped down. I lost everything again. Well – fast forward 15 years from that day, right around 15 years, everything is going great. I got a home in Valencia, pool man made, gardener. I've got a beach apartment in Manhattan Beach. I'm leasing a restaurant and two private health clubs, using the kitchens, doing great business, and everything is going. We're doing blockbuster parties. And walking across the street in Manhattan Beach, I get hit by a car.
Oh, Charlie, I just got chills. That's terrible.
Walking across the street, here I am. I get hit by a car. I don't work for a while. I lose everything again.
I got chills. That's...
Again, I lose everything. And I remember saying, I couldn't believe, well, you know, it took me a while to get better. And then finally I realized I lost the home, lost the business. I got to start over again. And I just thought, you know what? It was kind of comical because, you know,
you
what?
You got to laugh at you, the life sense of humor.
I know how to do this. I didn't do it once. I didn't do it twice. Now I'm doing it my third time. I become very, very good at losing everything.
And bouncing back from it, though.
And bouncing back. And I have to tell you again, the attitude is everything. And when I lost everything for the last time, I made myself a promise that I would take my time in life, smell the roses, enjoy relations with people, have more fun in life, and magic has happened. So I always had the positive mental attitude, but I kicked it into high gear, and I tell you, life could not be better. Life could not be better.
That's amazing, Charlie. And you've even written a book. I mean, obviously you did a TED Talk, I think, on what we were just discussing.
Sure.
And then you wrote the book, Party Planning Secrets, The Ultimate Guide to a Successful Party.
Oh, yeah.
And just so you know, if at any point one of our listeners happens to call in the show and be the first caller, we will get you a copy of Party Charlie's book. So if you do want to call into the show, you will have a chance to win Party Charlie's book. 323-203-0815. And Charlie, obviously, aside from the party planning, which we're going to talk about how that relates to business, you know, and your story and how you got into it, it all comes down to your attitude and who you know. It sounds like you really built a great reputation for yourself. And you and I were talking yesterday, I believe it was, about when you throw a party, how it's all about bringing people together and network and how that leads to success. So tell our listeners a little bit about what a successful party looks like and how it can help you grow your brand, either as a business or as an individual.
Well, I have a section in the book called Party Celebrate and Social. Inside the book, I moved away from the microphone, so I want to make sure that everybody hears this. They go, oh, well, what was going on? Where'd he go? I'm here. All right. Anyway, inside the book, I have a section called Party, Celebrate, Socialize Your Way to Health and Success. And somebody goes, wait a minute. Party your way to health?
That doesn't make
That's
sense.
That's sort of crazy, isn't it? Well, I'm not talking about downing a fifth of vodka. I'm talking about the actual party where people get together for social reasons. You know, you have a glass of wine, maybe not, maybe you, whatever you do. But it's more about the socializing, bonding with people. And when you know people, it's networking. And your net worth is equal to your network.
I love that quote.
So you kind of wrap yourself around getting involved with fundraisers like you do, putting them on even better like you do, meeting people. You can't sit at the couch and watch TV and watch these great shows and say, I wish I had that. Because it's not going to happen. You need to get up, get out. And for some people, you know, that's difficult, by the way.
Hmm.
You know, they have a tough time with it. But I will tell you, anyone listening who feels, you know what, I would love to get up off the couch. I would like to start making things happen. I would like to start doing things. Just try it. Get out, meet some people, and on your way home, you're going to say, boy, I should do this more often. I had a good time. And then the next time, you have a good time, and you keep going, and you meet people. Next thing you know, someone says, hey, whatever your job is, we've got somebody, and we need your help. And you start networking. And next thing you know, your TV bill, you can shut the cable off because guess what? You're enjoying yourself. You're out with people. You're networking, having a ball.
Yeah, you're so right. It's so important to put yourself out there with people. I just got back from New York yesterday, and I went to 2 charity events while I was out there, completely divergent. But the people I got to meet, one of the charity events, the Secretary of Defense was there, and it was about nice. Navy SEALs. And it also gives you a broader perspective. You know, I appreciate the fact that I'm a free person living in the United States and that I don't have to look over my shoulder or carry a gun. And I really got present. If I hadn't gone to that Navy SEALs event, I took for granted the freedoms that these people were fighting for, that wives lost their husbands and children lost their fathers for. And it gives you such a broader perspective. In fact, there was a great article, and this ties into, you know, parties and traveling. And it said something to the effect of life is like a book. And if you don't travel or go do events or get out of your comfort zone, you're only reading one page of the book. And I think it's such a beautiful quote because the people I met at the Navy SEALs event on Thursday, I made some lasting friendships there on the Saturday night event for Big Brothers and Big Sisters in New York, met some extraordinary people and wound up getting an interview with a Moroccan woman who I knew to help women in the Middle East. I was not expecting when I flew to New York to do an interview with somebody who's in television for Morocco and the Middle East.
How nice.
And now I get to make a difference for those people just because I showed up.
Yeah, it's, well, showing up, right?
It's 50% of everything, I think,
yeah,
in life is just showing up.
You show up, you be noticed, and, you know, so the first part I was talking about there was going to be what was the networking part, but then health. Where does health tie into partying? And once again, I go back to not over-drinking, but when you're at a party and you're eating food, you're moving around, you have less calories that you're going to consume, generally less calories than if you're sitting home, sitting on the couch and eating because you're bored. This gives you a great opportunity to burn those calories off because you're not eating the whole time. You know darn well you sit in front of the TV. Next thing you know, you're going in front of the into the refrigerator and you're pulling out more ice cream. You know, when you're at a party, people are moving and mixing and mingling. And don't forget your travel time, getting in and out of the car, just moving your body and meeting people. It's
or
so
dancing.
Stimulating.
You know,
oh, there's even the best part.
Yeah, I went out on Saturday night in New York, and I had the best chicken pot pie before I went there, and then I danced for
burned
three or
off.
4 hours and didn't even bat an eyelash
burned
because
it off.
Got to meet great people and dance the night away. So,
absolutely. That's always fun. And so the idea of partying and celebrating and socializing your way to health and success is actually a plan. It's actually something people can do. And you just have to put yourself in gear and say, you know what, I'm going to try it. And a lot of people, as I mentioned, it's hard for them to break that mold. They feel uncomfortable. There's so many reasons and excuses that they give that why they don't go to a party. And I have them in my book, a lot of the excuses that people use. And you know, this is to help overcome that. And once you start showing up, you start to feel comfortable. It's like the first time you drive down a street. You've never been on that street. Well, you're very careful the way you're driving. You're looking around. You know, same thing when you go to a party for the first time. You're kind of, you know, looking around and worried what's going on. After you go to a few parties, it's like driving down that road for a dozen times. It's no big deal.
It becomes like breathing.
And exactly.
The thing I want our listeners to understand as well about attending a party or an event, it could be anything. I get emails, so many emails every week. Sometimes it might be a philanthropic event, and sometimes it's free to go to those events.
Right.
Sometimes there's a minimum donation. Also, I encourage our listeners, check out meetup groups. Meetup is always throwing on amazing groups for whatever you're interested in, and they're always throwing gatherings. And a party could be 5 people. It could be 500
exactly.
people.
Yeah. And it's fun. You just get there. And the greatest thing is meeting new people. It's like a discovery. You know, you get to meet new people, find out about them. They get to find out about you. You never know where the friendship is going to take you. You never know. And maybe nowhere at all. But next time you see them at a party, there's that connection. Hey, good to see you again. And this builds on itself. It has a natural energy that just kicks in and just keeps people moving and moving.
So what if our listeners were uncomfortable with going outside their home to a party, but they wanted to start inside and they wanted to throw a great party, maybe start small with 5 or 10 friends or maybe 20 or 30? What would you recommend to throw a great party and have them get comfortable with
that? Well, that's a great question. And one of the perfect things that I talk about in my book is 5 steps to create an outrageously successful party. And I always tell people, you know, it's like baking a cake, you know. There's certain steps you have to take in making a cake. And if you leave out one of the ingredients, the cake is a flop. The same thing is with your party. You leave out one of the ingredients. And my steps are very, very simple. And they apply to here. And here's something I want to tell you about. They actually apply to business.
Oh, I would love this. Let's hear it.
So let me give it to you in the context of the party. And then I'm going to give it to you in the context of doing business. Okay, step number one, you know, tempt your guest with an exciting invitation. Everybody worries about the font. You want to know something? Nobody cares about the font. It's words that get us excited. So put some high energy, exciting words in that. Two, greet your guest at the entrance.
So important, Charlie. That makes or breaks a party. People don't understand. Of all the parties I've thrown, whether it's been at my house or at a big event, I always stand by the front. I greet every guest. I make sure they get a drink, that they know where to put their coats, and they feel welcomed, and it sets the whole ambiance of the party. You're absolutely right.
You hit the nail on the head. And by the way, and I remember what we'll talk about, your masquerade party, that one you had there where you were greeting people at the door with those beautiful masks. And I remember that. It changes people. So step two, by the way, I tell people is one of the most important steps. And let me tell you why it's the most important step. When you greet somebody, you lift their spirits. You make them feel comfortable.
And welcome and like they belong.
Exactly.
That's important.
And remember how we were talking just a moment ago about people feeling uncomfortable in a party?
Yep.
Just imagine everybody being greeted at the front entrance with a hug, maybe a welcome drink, maybe some type of a prop like you did with the masquerade party. And the energy that they take into that party is so contagious. Now, keep in mind, the people in that party, they've already got the high energy because guess what? You've greeted them at the door. So the next group comes in. Next thing you know, you have this overwhelming noise that's going on in the party, and it's contagious. It gets contagious. Step number three, you got to create the ambiance. You have to create the ambiance. And the ambiance is with decor. It's with music. And be careful not to put your music on a level 10 when you first get there. Number four, you got to involve your guests. Give your guests something to do.
So important.
Eating and drinking, Jen, as you know, is not something to do because we do that every day.
Yep.
Okay? So give the and you know, you don't have to buy my book to find out all these things. You can just Google things to do at a party. But, you know, I listed a bunch of great items in my book, too. My book has all the formulas that you can follow. But, you know, that's not the reason for telling you this because you can just Google some of that stuff. But you involve your guests. Get them involved. This is so important. Last but not least, fabulous food and beverage.
Mm.
Notice I didn't say expensive food and beverage.
It's fabulous.
It's not about, you know, the caviar and the lobster and the Dom Perignon champagne. Although that is very nice. If you can afford it, what the heck, do it. But let's face it. Most of us, we can't. You just do fabulous food, give a nice choice. You could set it out at a table, buffet, have somebody pass if you haven't catered, if it's a small little intimate party. Whether you're having 5 people or whether you're having 500, greeting people at the door is so important. And I understand you're doing a party for 500. It's more of a production of a party. So you hire people to be at the door with great attitude. Because if somebody's at the door and they don't have a good attitude, well, then you defeated your whole purpose of having somebody at the door.
To welcome
them. Exactly.
You know, what was really fascinating for me at being at the Navy SEALs Gala, because here in LA, obviously, I've been to your parties, which are extraordinary, and mine are a lot of flash and dazzle. And most parties that you go to in LA for charity have the big celebrity headlining it and the red carpet and whatever have you. it was very humbling to be at the Navy SEALs Foundation party because it was very austere. Mm. There was no flash. There was no dazzle. There was no, I mean, the food was fine. It was probably my least favorite meal in New York, but it was fine. But what made it extraordinary was the message. Mm. And that was really interesting because being in LA and having gone to parties here my whole life in Southern California, I had never experienced that. And I was a little bit begrudged the first minute I got there. It's a pretty expensive ticket. I'm like, where's the flash? Where's the dazzle? Right. Where is all of this? But then you sat down there and it was so moving. And so there are a lot of ways to throw a party. And if you aren't accustomed to throwing a party, I think following Charlie's tips, if you don't have the Secretary of Defense to, you know, wow your guests with how they took down Bin Laden, you know, that was clearly a very moving story.
Yeah. That, let me tell you, that's involving your guests.
Yeah, that definitely involves your guests in a different sort of a way. But there are many ways to capture your guests' attention. So if you might not be as much of a flash and dazzle sort of a person, we all have different personalities, but I think you can gear Charlie's tips to yourself. And like Charlie said, these are great tips for business. Whenever I see a client, I'm a hugger. I actually hug my clients, or I give them a two-handed handshake where I hold their hand in mine. And you just make people feel welcome and make them feel like they belong. That's why so many people never show up, or they show up once and they don't go out again, is they just feel left out and they feel like they're not part of the party. And so I think what you said is really important, is to understand to make people feel welcome and like they belong there.
Well, let me show you how the five steps applies to business.
Oh, yes, please tell me.
Okay. Well, step one, where I say, you know, tempt your guests with an exciting invitation. Well, when you want to meet a new client, you've got to be exciting to them. You've got to show how positive you are. Because once again, I'll default back to the fact that people will do business with you because they like you. They'll continue to do business with you because you do the job. But they've got, you know, people like people. It's important. So in business, step number one, make sure when you greet the people, make sure that when you reach out to them, it's something different, nice. I've done parties. I've gone after clients where I put a gift and some candies, specialty candies that I knew that they liked. Mm. And I had them. I went very, very nice the way they were boxed up, special box, and made it cute and fun. And I send some of my coffee mugs, the Party Charlie coffee mugs out, and I send a nice little gift with my book and a little note, you know. And so they see, okay, well, that's different. That's a different way to reach out to somebody. That's new. It's different. It's, yes, it's a gift, but I put a little fun stuff in there. And not every person is doing that. Not every person is doing that. And then step two, when I talk about greeting your guests at the entrance, you do the same thing. When you meet that client, you make sure you give them a great, warm greeting. And it's very, very important when you greet them. Look them in the eye and listen to them. Let them talk, but look them in the eye. Compliment them. This is so important. Step number three, you've got to create the ambiance. And what I mean by that, you know, if you're taking out someone or taking them to lunch or to dinner and they're kind of conservative, well, guess what? Take them to a conservative restaurant.
Consider your audience.
Exactly, exactly. And that's about the ambiance around that person, how you dress, how you appear to them. Because obviously, if you're getting a new client, you better have done the research in the background on that client. All right? And then step number four, do something with the client. You know, you don't just have to have lunch. Maybe you can take a client bowling. There's so many different things. A ball game. There's so many different things. And then when you go out to eat, again, serve fabulous food and beverage. Go to a place that's fun. If it's the fun type guy, if it's a guy who's ultra conservative, then you know where to take that person. Those five steps work for business. They work for parties. And guess what? They work in life.
Yeah, I think those are wonderful steps, and they're easy enough to remember. I think that a warm welcome, a smile, good eye contact, whether it's a job interview, a business meeting, it's all going to go a very long way. So is it cumbersome to throw a party? I mean, I know I've thrown my share of parties. Is it something that people should be daunted by or afraid of?
Well, I think everybody should do some type of throwing of a party, even if they do it themselves and they don't call a party planner or a caterer. You know, and there's also partial catering these days, which means, you know, the person at home can do the planning and just bring in the food, or vice versa. They do the cooking and they bring in a party planner to help facilitate and take over everything. Let me tell you something. If you're doing a party, the most important part of the party is the cleanup. Because setting it up is great and everything, and at the end of the night, you do not want to be around that mess, okay? So make sure you have people on hand to clean up so your place is put back together and everything is clean, the trash is properly disposed of. There's certain little tips in my book. I give these wonderful tips about even prepping your bathroom, prepping trash cans, making sure that you have ample light for... Here's a funny story. Is a lot of people, what they'll do is they'll figure out where they're going to have their party in the backyard. And they're doing a nighttime party, but yet they're doing the walkthrough during the day. And they're going to say, we're going to put this here, put this here. So the day of the party comes and they're setting everything up and everything's great. And then all of a sudden where the buffet and the bar was set up,
there's no light.
There's no light.
Oh, geez.
Walk the property.
During the time of day.
During the time of the event. Get a feel for it. Walk the property. Walk the property in as if you're the guest to make sure there's ample lighting for security for them and so no one falls. Walk them out, walk out the way they're going to walk and see to make sure you have enough lighting for that as well. Even the side of the house where you're going to be putting your trash, make sure there's enough light there so that whoever's taking the trash out can see where they're putting. The tips are unbelievable.
Yeah, there's all sorts of little things. And so what do you think a good party would do for your brand? If you throw a party and you're in a certain industry and you're trying to build a certain clientele, what would that do for your brand?
Well, that's interesting that you say that, because over the years, branding, by the use of parties, has exploded in this country.
Really?
And it's actually exploded in the world, because it's been very, very big. When I first started in this business, I don't even want to say...
5 years ago, right?
I don't even want to say I was president. I've been in this business a long time, okay? I'm actually in this business a very, very long time. And I love it to death. I love it to death. And I will tell you that branding was something that really blew up to a degree that we... And it's only going to get bigger. Everything people do now is about their parties. It's about branding. And also sponsorships, where they bring in co-sponsors to help sponsor their event. And that's a big thing. But branding, it's interesting you bring that up, because a lot of times we'll do, a client will contact us and they want to showcase their product. They want to showcase this to their clientele. And the product generally will define how the party is set up. I'll give you an idea. You're not going to do a Western barbecue for a party for Tiffany's.
Yeah, okay? Probably it's, wouldn't go over
it's
well.
A whole different branding style they have. And a boot company that's selling Western gear isn't going to do the same party Tiffany's is doing. It's not their audience. You've got to know. And, you know, I have a section in the book called Know Your Guest. And, yes, it's impossible to know everybody who's coming. But you have a basic idea of who your people are and what they like. But stay true to your brand is the most important. Stay true to your brand. I have a client who, when they do their event, they always use their customer colors. Always. Mm. Even during the holidays, their customer colors are somewhere brought into the theme. And I just think that's staying true to your brand.
Yeah, I think it makes a difference, because when you throw great parties, it kind of becomes in line with who you are as a person in the business world. Oh, there's Charlie, who throws great parties for celebrities. There's Jen Hill, who's big into philanthropy. And it just becomes part and parcel of your brand. And I think it's really important, because years ago, there was a great class I did, Landmark Education. I've had a Landmark Forum leader on the show back in October. And in the first section of the Landmark class, you look at yourself, who you are as a person. Then you look at who you are in small groups and how you relate to them. And then the third section, where I first threw my first party for charity, God, 12, 13 years ago, is called the Self-Expression and Leadership Program. And in that program, you're supposed to create a project and bring it out into the world. And then that will tell you if who you think you are in the world is how others see you. So it's almost a test of your brand. And that's how I came to throw my very first party for charity about 13 years ago. And I realized who I wanted to be seen as in the world was somebody who gives back, who contributes, and who cares about people? And now here we are 12 parties later, you know, and I've created that brand because of the parties I've thrown.
See, and that's what people know you. See, what I know about you, I know what business you're in.
Yep.
Because the way you market yourself, you know, that you're always communicating with people and mingling with people to help further their career, which is something it seems you love to do. And I know that you're always involved in a charity somewhere, whether you're helping out or whether it's your own charity. So,
yeah,
you know, I have a real good idea of what you do just from that. And plus some of the social media, of course. When I first started, there wasn't social media. There was two cans and a string. Okay, we're going back a long time. You know, when I networking, we were using telephones with cords on them. Anyway, but you do a great job in the networking, and you know, that's something that people in business really need to know.
Yeah.
And you know, especially using some of the social networks, is always put stuff out there about your positive side. Stuff out there about your good self.
I just picked up on something you said, Charlie, that I think might be valuable for our listeners to consider, is when people are confronted, like, oh, gosh, I don't see myself throwing a party. That just seems too daunting. And I'm certainly not going to go to a party where I don't know anybody. Do what one of my best friends did. She has come to my charity events over the years, but it wasn't necessarily her thing. She found a cause she believed in. And for her, it was St. Vincent's Meals on Wheels. And so now, if you find an organization you want to volunteer with, that makes it so much easier to get out there and participate in parties and learn about parties, because you have a chance to be mentored by people who have done it before, and then you have a built-in social circle of people who are a part of the charity who are also interested in a similar cause, and it can be a great way to get your feet wet if you're nervous about going out there and interacting with people in a party situation.
That's a great suggestion, because what you've done is this is what step two is all about, making people feel comfortable and welcome. And a lot of times when people go to a party, and if they don't have that big welcome at the front entrance, they do walk into there a little bit on eggshells. But what you've done by telling them to join the charity, help out with the charity, they get involved with this social group of people. And now this person has a purpose and a reason to be at the party, and you see they spread their wings a little wider. They feel that they belong there. They become more social.
They become engaged.
And so if that's the way it works for them, get out and do it that way. But get out. Get out.
It will lead. I think Charlie has given so many wonderful tips, whether you're thinking of throwing your own party or even becoming a party planner. I mean, what Charlie shared is, A, you can overcome any adversity. I think it's brilliant that, you know, Charlie faced two fires, a restaurant, a home burning down, and then being hit by a car. And any one of those three things would typically knock any of us off of our life path or trajectory and make us want to throw in the towel and give up. And so here you have an individual who overcame all sorts of obstacles and adversity, is thriving even more than any of the three times he lost everything before, and is giving people, the thing is, it's about sharing too. It's a positive attitude, and Charlie's here today to share his wealth of wisdom and knowledge and what it takes to be successful in throwing a party. And I think that if you're in a business world or whatever part of your life you might be in, these are all tools that we can utilize in our day-to-day life. Charlie, do you have any other last-minute tips or anything else you'd like to share with our listeners about how they can be effective in the future, or any no-nos?
No, well, there's plenty of no-nos.
I know. You got to get the book for that, though.
Yeah, that's it. There's plenty of no-nos. There's plenty of things that you do not want to do. But, you know, just another great way to throw a party is team up with a couple people.
Oh, great
team
idea.
Team up with a friend and say, hey, you like to cook, I like to coordinate. Let's throw this together. And if you're throwing a small party, it works. It's fine. If you're throwing things for hundreds of people, you need to call in the pros. You know what? But yet you could still be involved with it, you know? But when you're doing like a little home party, backyard party, you're having a bunch of people over, maybe you're throwing a little birthday party for someone in your family, bring in some of the relatives. Bring in people. Collude with people, you know? Collaborate. It's a big thing. Because now you feel much more comfortable. That'll set you off.
Yeah, and I think something too, if any of our listeners out there are thinking of becoming event planners or party planners themselves, the best way to gain knowledge, as Charlie shared, get out there and attend parties. That's what I've learned. I've never taken a course in my life other than having great mentors like Charlie and other awesome people in here. And again, if any of our listeners do want a copy of Charlie's book, what we'll do is, because a lot of listeners download the show afterwards on iTunes, the first email I get to info@stophopingstarthunting.com, which is my book website that I use. Again, that's info@stophopingstarthunting.com. I don't even know the name of my own book. You can go ahead and send me an email. Whoever sends me the first email will get the complimentary copy of Charlie's book for that. And then next week, I invite you to tune in. We're doing an interesting segment with Selma Fonseca, who, interestingly enough, is known as Party with Selma, but she is a journalist for celebrity events. And she started her career by crashing the governor's ball at the Oscars and other things and getting the secret interviews with A-list celebrities that has now led her to be a successful winning journalist with Billboard Magazine. So she'll be joining us next week. Charlie, thank you so much for being here today. And,
well, thank you for having me.
And sharing all of your wonderful wisdom with our listeners. And if anybody missed the show live, you can always find it on the archive of LA Talk Radio's website. Or you can download the show for free on iTunes at Get Yourself the Job on iTunes. Thank you so much, everybody, and have a wonderful week.
You're listening to Get Yourself the Job with Jennifer Hill, only on LA Talk Radio.